Can we give a worship team a big hand? How many know church is not a concert? And this platform is not really a stage, just a place where there's some people with some instruments that help lead us into his presence. How many know the audience that we're singing to is one, right? The Lord is one, and he is the one who we sing to. He's the one we worship, and I tell you what, I am so blessed every time I get to come on a Sunday and just worship together with you. I just want you to know it's such a blessing to worship with you, and I hope you know that your praise not only, I believe, impacts the Lord, but it also impacts one another. Your praise impacts me. I know that when I come into a place and we worship together and we're looking toward the Lord together, we're seeking God and we're declaring his goodness together, there's something that happens in that unity. There's something that happens as we just worship together. So I just encourage you to just be free as we worship the Lord, and man, he's worthy of it. Amen? And it's a beautiful thing to be the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just pray. Father, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for this time that we could, Lord, be here, gathered together. Lord, we thank you for the liberty that we have, Lord, to lift up your name, the name above every name. And Lord, in this day, Lord, we don't face where we live. Lord, we don't face persecution like is faced elsewhere. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the freedom that we have. Lord, we thank you for the name that we bear, that name that is above every name, the name at which every knee shall bow, every tongue confess to the glory of the Father. Lord, we thank you that you were obedient, that you were the faithful one, that you, Lord, knew that you were the only answer and you came yourself for us. So, Lord, we thank you, God, for your obedience, that obedience even unto death on the cross. And we thank you that we bear that name. We thank you, Jesus, that we are saved by that name, the only name that brings salvation. Lord, we thank you that we're healed by that name. It's the only name that brings healing. Lord, we thank you that we are set free by the name that is the only name that brings deliverance. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Lord, we ask you to breathe upon us, Lord. That breath of life, breathe upon us, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would instill within us a holy fervency to apprehend the things of God. That, Lord, we would leave this place not okay without a touch of you. Lord, that we would leave this place, that we would not leave this place, Lord, without having touched you, without having been transformed by your power and by your love. Even now, awaken expectation in our hearts, Lord. Even now, awaken within us, Lord, a desire to obtain the things of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. He is good. I just feel like things are going to be a little different today, so just get ready for that, and we'll see what happens. If you have your Bible, which is a great idea when you come to church, turn to John. Chapter 1, John chapter 1. If you don't have one, scoot next to a neighbor who does. We got a little bit of room here, so we can scoot around and get some word. How many know the word is so much more than just some pieces of paper and ink compiled together? We're going to talk about that today. If you're taking notes, which I know everyone is, just joking. Boy, tough crowd. You got to help me out here, people. Okay. We're doing this together, just like worship is all of us together, so is the message. We're getting into the word together, amen? And I believe what God has put on my heart is something that we all need to hear, myself completely included. John chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. If you're asleep, say amen. Oh, wow. We've got some sleepers who somehow are able to pay attention enough to say amen. All right. That's for all the random people who's like, okay, lift your hand if blah, 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 blah. And people just lift their hand like, I wasn't listening, but I'm going to lift my hand now. And like, lift your hand if you've got a painful sore on your leg or, you know, who knows. Okay, nobody gets my humor. It's all good. You know, so we're going to start off while we're on a funny note. My wife and I were talking about this on the way into church today. And recently I saw this little picture. It was pretty funny. And it had a picture of Jesus standing next to a Honda Accord, and you know, don't get mad at me if that offends you. But it was basically making the claim that he must have driven a Honda. And I thought, oh, this is interesting because we happen to drive a Honda Accord. And I was like, you know, looked further, and then it had the verse where Jesus says, I do not speak of my own accord, right? So in case you didn't know, and I, you know, it's funny because there's all sorts of mysteries in the Bible, right? Like, you know, things you just read right over. How many know that we do that, right? Like, for example, you know, in the book of Acts, it says they were all in one place. They were all in one accord. Well, in chapter 1, they said there was 120 of them. In one accord? I mean, we drive an accord, and they were definitely breaking the law. There's only, like, seatbelts for five. So, anyway, don't blame me. We need a drummer. Okay. In verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Today we're talking about the Word that became flesh. And this passage, I was like, I don't know, 13 years old or so, and we were doing this like core Bible study thing as a part of youth. I grew up in the youth group here in this church. Can you believe that? Only 5 years ago. And at the age of 13, we went through a challenge of memorizing, like, I think it was verse 1 through, I want to say, like, 20-something or other, and maybe 18, or maybe it was a whole chapter. I can't remember. I didn't memorize a whole chapter, so I can't take credit for that. But I remember memorizing the first, I don't know, 20 or so verses of this, and just kind of going right past the deepness that's right here before our very eyes. And I love what the Holy Spirit does in our life is He brings the Word and reveals it. You know, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, and He said that He will lead and guide you into all truth, and that He comes to bear witness of the Son. And so the mission and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus, right? And so what we're talking about today is really the fact that this Word we're talking about is, in fact, Jesus Christ, of whom we speak. And we read over this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, sweet, I got that check. The Word was in the beginning, got it. Okay, I'm good to go. The Word of God has been around forever. But wait, there's more. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. There was nothing else, because in the beginning, nothing had been created. So the only thing that was present was that who was the Creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was in the beginning with God. When we describe the Bible, when we say, do you know the Word? You've been getting in the Word is so much more than a book. The Word is He Himself, Jesus Christ. The Word is a He, it's not an it. It's a person with a purpose and a will. I believe the Word of God, the Son of God, is the express image of the will of the Father. Jesus said, I never do anything except which the Father has revealed to me. I don't say anything that the Father has not first said. He's the epitome of the will of the Father. As the Father intends, the Word speaks and the Spirit brings it to being. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. It's by the Word that everything that we see, feel, and touch has been made. Nothing was made except by Him. Nothing was made except by Him. In 1 John 5, it says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. This has really just been ringing in my spirit for the last few weeks. This really stood out to me. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. I don't know about you, but every time I hear of the, you know, reference to the Trinity, we sing the songs, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? You those three go unanimous. And here in 1 John 5, it refers to the Son as the Word. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, talking about the witness of God's gift of salvation. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So when we look at what, when we see the Word, when we see the God's spoken Word throughout Scripture, I want you to change maybe a little bit of how you look at that. When there is a spoken utterance out of the mouth of God, I believe we should look at that as Jesus himself. That's how God works. He speaks and then it becomes. He is the Word. In Revelation 19, even more so, it says, here's John as he saw the revelation of heaven and God showed him many things. In chapter 19, he says, "Now I saw heaven opened." In Revelation 19, 11. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire." I love when it talks about Jesus, man. His eyes are like a flame of fire. I believe his eyes were like a flame of fire on the cross, looking for that day. It says, "The joy set before him, he endured the cross." I believe there's a fire in our God who looks intently with a passion for his people. "His eyes were like flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns," indicating much authority, all authority being given to him, many crowns. "And he had a name written that no one knew except himself." In verse 13, "He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called," can you guess it? "The Word of God." In Revelation 19, his name is called the Word of God. In 1 John, it's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. In John 1, it was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and in him is the life. And it's in him, in the Word, that we have the light of men. And it's that light that comes from who he is that dispels all darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome him, which is the light, who is the Word. Is that a mess of words there thrown at you? Okay. So Jesus is the Word. And then we read, if you're there in John chapter 1, flip a page to verse 14. You may not have to flip a page. I do. I'm on page 1444 for reference. In verse 14, it says, "And that Word became flesh." Not only did God become flesh, but then he dwelt among us. And as he dwells among us, as the living, eternal Word of God dwells among you, you behold his glory. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." As the only begotten of the Father. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me a lot about birthing, like, things, how God births things. He's the Father. And out of the Father, out of his will, becomes the Son, his only begotten. That out of his will becomes the Word. And it's the Spirit that really sort of does this work of brooding and bringing forth a birth. We're going to get to it. In Genesis 1, it talks about how the Holy Spirit was brooding over the darkness and the void of the earth. And then the Lord said, "Let there be light." And there was light. As the Holy Spirit broods, the Word becomes something. It births something. I love to see the beauty of that union of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Man, I tell you what, if we get too focused on anyone and we don't grab a hold of who God fully is, we miss so much. If we focus how just God is, man, you're going to miss his mercy. If you focus on all of his mercy and how forgiving he is, and you never think about the fact that he's also just, you're going to miss part of his nature and who he is. It's not without the justice that makes the mercy so beautiful. We've been talking about this in youth, that it's because he's just that his only option was to send himself, to send his Son, because that's the only answer. He's merciful, but he's just, and there's no other option except for to satisfy justice, to himself provide a way. When Jesus came, it was a manifestation of who God is and who he's always been. Who God has always been, the God who was, who is, and is to come, the God who has no beginning and who has no end. I'm going to read through these verses here really quick. I feel a little bit of a switch up. Is Deborah here? Maybe not. Oh, you are. Deb and Sharon, would you guys just kind of come up and get ready? I've asked them to do a song towards the end, and just come up and get ready, because I think we're just going to, might flow a little faster here. In 1 John chapter 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Man, I love that. Which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have touched concerning the word of life. The word of life. In verse 2 it says, the life was manifested. That word manifested is, I'm going to get it wrong, most likely, phanerou. How did I do, Mike? Okay, not bad, not bad. Phanerou. Yeah, I won't try it again. It probably gets worse over time. It's like that. Whenever Pastor Jose's not here, sometimes he'll teach me a word in Spanish, and the first time he's like, oh yeah, that's pretty close. And then the second time he's like, you know. So just stop while you're ahead. That word, phanerou, to make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. To make visible what has been hidden. God has always been who he is. But when the word became flesh, all of a sudden it became revealed to us. It became visible. I love how John describes that. That which is from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen, which we've touched concerning the word of life, that word of life was manifested. It wasn't, we were blinded to it, but it became visible. I was thinking about this movie we recently went to see with our kids about these storks that got out of the baby delivery business and they started delivering packages. It was kind of funny. But there's this boss and he's standing here and he's like one of those, you know, sort of stereotypical bosses who wants power, and he's standing with a room full, an office that's just surrounded by huge windows, and he's talking to this guy who's, he's saying, you know, I might be raising you up as the next boss, and he's like, do you know why I've got an office surrounded by nothing but windows? And all of a sudden, you just see these two birds crash into the windows, and he's like, power move, you know, and, you know, I was thinking about, must be rough to be a bird, you know, when there's windows around. You can't see anything. It's like the movie was hilarious because they're like, glass, oh no, you know, it's they're one, you know, kryptonite. But just because they can't see it doesn't mean it's not there, right? And they find that out when they run into it. And how often do we live our life where maybe, just maybe, there's something more there than what we see? And that's the power of God's word. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal his word that brings forth something. God spoke, and it was. Throughout all of the Old Testament, we see so many prophecies. I mean, specific. It talks about how Jesus' bones would not be broken. It talks about the fact that he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. It talks about the sword in his side. It talks about all of these things. And Jesus fulfilled every one of them, but I believe Jesus did not, it was not time for him to come until every proper prophecy had been spoken, because God doesn't speak it, or he doesn't bring anything to pass until he's first spoken it. In Amos, I always get that one wrong. Man, thanks to our Sunday school, which is awesome growing up, which of course I was in about 5 years ago. We learned those songs, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Great song, helps you learn the books of the Bible. I've won many a trivia game due to that that song. But my pronunciation during the song makes me think that it's Amos when I think it's Amos. So anyway, Amos chapter 3, it talks about, I believe there, it's even saying in there, I believe it's chapter 3, where it talks about, I don't do anything unless I've first revealed it to my prophets. God is in the business of speaking first, and I believe that's because he's limited himself to who he is, and that the word has to be spoken before it can become something. It's his word that is in and of itself the creative force that births something, that brings something forth. In Colossians 1, it says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The image of the invisible God. How many say, I've never seen God? Well, I tell you what, Jesus fixed that 2,000 years ago, and he became the image of the invisible God. In Hebrews 1, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Deb and Sharon, would you guys mind just really lightly just play that Holy Spirit? You're welcome. I've had this song in my heart all week, and you ever just find yourself hearing funny things from God and just kind of like, okay, I'm going to err on the side of just trusting him and obeying him? Okay, well, that's what I'm doing today. So we're just going to trust and obey him. Amen. Because at the end of the day, what is it worth? It's a waste of our time if we don't see him and we don't hear him. What's it worth if I don't get a hold of the Heavenly Father? If I don't get a hold of God, of King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords? Before I believe we're going to get through a few more scriptures here, but I think we just need to sing this song. Can you sing those words?
Holy Spirit, thou art worthy.
Let's just make a place in our hearts for the Lord to minister to us today. Just open your heart to him and say, Lord, I receive. I want to receive from you today. I welcome you. Welcome you, Lord.
Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit,
Lord, we welcome you. We welcome you. Super soft, if you don't mind. Thank you. We're going to read through a few more scriptures, and man, I just have such a sense of the Lord just wanting to do his what he's good at, which is to perform miracles. And just all week, man, I've just been just anticipating seeing God just work. So I just want to encourage you, be expectant. If you need a touch from him, as Pastor Jonathan was exhorting today, if there's pain in your body, if you have sickness, I'm telling you, just receive from our Lord, the Word who became flesh, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I keep thinking that there's someone who's maybe you've got a throat condition or there's something just pain in your throat. I just really feel the Lord is just touching that. So just receive that from the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you. Just a little more softly if you don't mind. Thank you. Jesus. The Word becomes flesh. The Word became flesh, and I believe the Word becomes flesh in our lives. If God is the same God who spoke and then something became, I believe he still can do that today. That God wants to let what he has spoken become flesh in your life. Become something real in your life, to become manifested in your life, to become visible. The promise is that we are healed by his stripes, that we are saved by his work on the cross. Has it become manifested in your life? If not, I want to ask you to receive that today. Thank you, Jesus. The Word becomes flesh, and I believe the Word becomes faith. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God wants us to obtain, to apprehend that which he's promised. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you to open our eyes and open our ears to hear. Lord, we do not want God to to enter into the wisdom of men. But Lord, we want to see a demonstration of the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we're after you. We're after your presence and you alone. You are God and we are not. You are God and we are your people. So we welcome you, Lord. We welcome you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a break there just for a second, guys. Thank you so much. We're going to sing here in another second. Jesus is the Word. And I've kind of see it in this picture, the Father. And you see as the Word comes out of his mouth, is like, that's who Jesus is. And the breath, that you can't speak without breath, right? Right? It just doesn't come out. Try preaching without any breath, right? The breath, I believe, is really a picture of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus is the Word, the Holy Spirit is the breath of God that breathes upon that Word. Even Jesus, the Word of God who became flesh, we just talked about it. He's the Word who became flesh. He didn't do one miracle without the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that just boggle your mind? God, completely God. He was completely man, but he was completely God in the flesh. He needed the Holy Spirit before he could do one miracle. It wasn't until he was baptized, and it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him. In the Bible, it says descended upon him like a dove. By the way, the Holy Spirit ain't no dove. He doesn't flap around. But that's what it looked like to the people. It was a markation that the Holy Spirit of God rests upon him. Man, I pray we walk around with some doves floating over us that tell the world the Holy Spirit is upon us. In the beginning, it says in Genesis, if you want to turn there, you can turn there. It's just the very beginning. It's the far left of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, without form, and it was void. And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. It astounds me that I didn't even get this until a few years ago. Isn't it amazing? There's no reference to the sun and the moons and the stars. He didn't do that until the fourth day. But yet day and night had already been created when he created light. Isn't that amazing? There was already light on the earth and there was no sun because God is light. It says in the book of 1 John, God is light. And what had been hidden became visible. When what? When he spoke his word. In 1 John 5, it says the word was manifested. It was revealed. It was hidden, and it became visible as God spoke. And I'm telling you, the Lord has spoken and is speaking, I believe, to this day over our lives, over each and every one of us, over your situation. God cares about what you're dealing with and what you're battling, what you're facing. And he has spoken and he is speaking. And I think it's important for us to know what he has spoken and also what he is speaking. And it's by our knowing what he has spoken, knowing the word that's been recorded and declared, that we can understand what he also is speaking. It's by the Holy Spirit we understand what he's saying today, but it's also that same Spirit that reveals the truth of who he is and what he has spoken from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I feel like my life has no form, like it's void, like it's dark, like it's empty. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
I believe maybe some of you are there today, that there's a void, but I don't think we should ever mistake the void or the darkness for the lack of activity of our God. As the earth was without form and without void, it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. You know what that word hovering means? Demetrius, I need you for an example real quick. Can you come here? Just come squat on the ground here, crisscross applesauce, if you don't mind. Okay, I looked this up in the Hebrew. I can't remember the word, and if I tried to say it, I would get it even worse wrong. But that word hovering or moved upon the waters or brooded over the waters is the same word used as a bird that relaxes and spreads its feathers over its eggs. Isn't that amazing? That when the earth was without form, it had not yet been fully created. There was waters, there was darkness, that's all we know. There was darkness. And here's my little egg. You're doing a great job. What looked like nothing, God saw as something that just had not yet been born. And the Holy Spirit, His work is to brood, to move, to hover, to relax its feathers and prepare what the Word is going to bring forth. Thank you. You did good. You did good. Thank you. I'll give Demetrius a hand. The Holy Spirit, man, when we're going through something that seems like God has just completely abandoned us, when it seems like God is silent, when it seems like nothing's happening, I'm telling you, do not mistake that for the lack of God's activity, that the Lord Himself broods over our lives. The Lord Himself relaxes His feathers because He's in the birthing business. He has something that has to come about, but there's a time at which it must come about. And if it comes too early, it's going to turn out wrong. But if it turns out just right and the temperature is just right and the feathers just hang there just right, what's brought forth is right and it's full and it's complete. And I'm telling you today, the Lord is brooding over His church. He's brooding over this earth. He's brooding over His people. And He's brooding over your life individually. That's the amazing thing about our God, is He is the corporate God and He's also the individual God. He died for the sins of all mankind and He also died for your sins individually. And He's brooding. The Holy Spirit is brooding. When we say, Holy Spirit, You are welcome in this place. That song, man, it's been on my heart for, I don't know, ages. But weeks and weeks, I just cannot stop singing, Holy Spirit, You're welcome in this place. Lord, we welcome You. One of my prayers of late has been, Lord, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's, you know, the Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And it's that fear of God that keeps us in that place of, God, I don't want to grieve You. Fear is, I love in Amazing Grace, it says, it was grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was also that same grace that my fears were relieved. And what is the difference? There's fear that Jesus throughout, you know, His ministry and throughout the entire Bible, we see hundreds and hundreds of references of do not fear, do not be afraid. But yet there's also all these references to fear Me, fear God. And I sense the Lord just calling us into that place, that just that holy place where before Him it's God. I don't want anything else apart from You. I don't want an answer that seems good for my situation. I want You. I want Your answer. I don't want just anything spoken over my life. I want You to speak over my life. The Spirit of God, I believe, is so hovering. He's so brooding. He's so moving. And I believe many of us, as I say that, you agree in your spirit. There is a sense of God saying, get ready. There is a sense of Him saying, there's something I'm about to bring forth. Because He's in the birthing business. And all that He's spoken must come to pass. God's word does not fail. Jesus Himself said, and My words shall by no means pass away. And when was He saying that? When He was prophesying about the end time. He said, and My words will by no means pass away. I believe He gave that for us to hang on to every last word. He might have fulfilled 98% of all of His promises, but there's still more. There's still more to be fulfilled until we see the culmination, the end of time. The Holy Spirit is brooding, and the Lord, I believe, is speaking. Let there be light. And there was light. What looked like darkness was only light that had not yet been revealed. God spoke it, and was made manifest. Thank You, Jesus. I believe the Lord is calling us to see His Word become flesh, just as it became flesh. That He's the God who became flesh. What was spoken became. But if He's the one who accomplished that, He's the one who's always becoming. He's the one who's always bringing forth. That's why I'm telling you, that's why we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church of God. Because what God speaks, He births. And I know I'm here today because of so many prophetic words spoken over my life that would not have come to pass unless they'd first been spoken, to speak things that are not as though they are. That seed to be cast out that can then become something. The Word become flesh. And I'm telling you what, we need the Word to become flesh in us and through us. We've got to let the Word become flesh in our life. If He is the revelation of God and we're His body, What does that make us? We are meant to be united with Him, to be joined with Him. I think about it this way. There's a marriage to be had. There's a wedding supper of the Lamb it describes. I think about that. Do you ever just think about yourself as God's bride, as Jesus' bride? Like He went and was fully obedient to the point of death on the cross. And what is His reward? His reward is the bride. We're His reward. It was for that prize, the joy that was set before Him. What was His joy? His joy was the union that we would have. And if we're His bride, I believe we are meant to represent Him. If we're His bride, and He's the one who reveals what was once hidden, the desire of our Lord is that we would, in this earth, reveal that goodness of God, reveal that life of God. And what I love about this is that God just, He has a way of just doing it as long as we just kind of lay down our own will. How many of you think you have a will? Yeah, yeah. Where's Will Tomasini? There he is. Yeah, he's got a will too. Way back when, I think I was, I don't know, I'm going to embarrass him now, but he was very young, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, and I called him dude a lot. And one day he's like, can you not call me dude? And I'm like, okay. And I almost said, okay, dude. You know, but no, from that day on, Will, you can keep me honest. Have I ever called you dude? I don't think so. I've called you fella, bro, but mainly Will. Man, they raise their kids right. They like their names. I remember we were moving Ben and Vonda into their house years ago, and Aaron was really young, and he was sitting on the stair in the garage, and I said, hey, buddy. And he's like, hey, my name's Elwin. And I was like, man, these kids, they know that their name means something. I love it. God has a way. This is what I love about the Lord. Our God is He is so amazing, so powerful. And when He calls us to something, is there a cost? Yes, there is a cost. I'm telling you, to obey God is not easy. It is the hard choice because our flesh does not want that. Is there a cost? Yes, but is there a reward? Oh, yeah, you bet. And here's the thing is when we choose, when our will is submitted to Him, all of a sudden it becomes possible. What was totally impossible, all of a sudden we're just enabled to do it. That's the power of the grace of God. And as the Lord broods over us and the Word becomes more and more and more flesh in our lives, it just becomes something. The other week, and please understand, I'm using this as an example to show how God just works, and we really can't take credit for it. I was at a gas station on my way to work, and I was running late, and I had no time for nothing. And in fact, it was a really rough morning, I was just stressed, and I'm on my way to work. This is just a couple weeks ago, and stopped at the gas station. You know, last thing on the checklist of things that could go wrong that morning, right? You know, gas tank. You know, I did not plan ahead on that one. And so I stopped at the gas station, and one thing led to another, and within just a minute or two, I'm talking to this guy and telling him that the Lord loves him, or I asked him, has anyone ever told you that God loves you and has a plan for your life? That was it. And I'm telling you, that was in the most, you know, hesitant manner that you can muster up. Like, my flesh was going, no way, Jose. Like, just get going. You're running late. The gas is empty. All this stuff. Just get out of here. And I literally awkwardly had to get back out of my car after I got back in, after I filled it up. And I was just like, okay, look for a reason to get back out of the car. I found a wrapper and had to throw that away, you know, to then walk over. Hey, how many know we can be real? But we let the Word become flesh. And I'm just telling you, in my least bit of obedience, God does miracles. And all I did was just tell Him, you know, anyone tell you that God loves you and He has a plan for you? And His answer to me was astoundingly, no, no one has ever told me that. And it was like all of a sudden it was just so real. Like He was so dialed in. And I just shared the basic truth of the gospel. How many know the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation? It isn't our preaching. It's Him. And I just said, you know, the Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. That includes me. And that includes you. And it says the wages of that sin is death, but God gave us a gift, and it's eternal life through Jesus. And I just basically shared that with him. Thanks to the awesome outreach training that we've done over the course of the last few years, man, it did something, you know, in me to just put something there. And in just a moment, at a gas station with a fellow I've never met and didn't want to talk to, he's giving his heart to the Lord. And I mean, and you know, you could argue, well, he's just prayed a prayer to get you off his back. I don't know, I'd argue because I couldn't kind of get him to stop talking to me. But the tears in, I mean, brought in moments, brought to tears in his eyes. I'm telling you what, your preaching can't bring tears to someone's eyes like that. Your preaching cannot convict a heart like that. It's only the Holy Spirit. And as we bring the word and the Holy Spirit has been brooding, I mean, tell you what, I just think about this guy. I'm like, how long has the Holy Spirit been ruffling his feathers over that heart? Saying, I'm ready to bring forth a birth of new life. What was once dead is going to be made alive. What was once lost is going to be found. A broken life is going to be made whole. The Lord knew it. I didn't. And all he's looking for is for us to let the word become flesh. The word become flesh in our lives, through our lives. He is the word who became flesh. And he graces us with the privilege of taking part in that.